podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Pandemic disease almost always begins locally, but holds the potential for global devastation. Consequently, accelerating the development of healthcare products to combat pandemics and accelerating patient access to such products is a global effort. I am Alberto Grignolo, editor of the DIA Global Forum. Today, I am speaking with Dorothy Grimal, Director of Global Regulatory Policy for MSD International in Singapore. Dr. Grimal will chair the conference, Accelerating Access to Innovative Products, Improving Responses to Pandemic Diseases, which DIA will offer in collaboration with the Duke National University of Singapore Center of Regulatory Excellence. She joins us today to discuss how to manage a pandemic situation effectively and her hopes for this conference. Thank you for joining us today, Dorothy, and welcome.
Thank you very much.
To start, why hold this particular conference in Singapore?
DIA is already present in more than 80 countries within the Americas, Europe, Middle East, Africa, and Asia. Why this region is more and more dynamic, and especially Singapore has become the regional medical and clinical hub within ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. So this upcoming DIA conference in Singapore will be the largest interdisciplinary event in the ASEAN region and will bring experts and participants from the region and beyond. And its location makes it also easy to access.
Is there any particular connection between the key topic of the conference, pandemic diseases, and Singapore, or is it a matter of just a convenient location, not necessarily a topical connection?
Pandemic diseases are really important in Asia and in Southeast Asia. So Singapore is part of the region, and as I explained, it's a good location as a medical and clinical hub in the region.
Let's get to the conference itself. The title of the conference implies that there is perhaps room to improve global responses to pandemics. So to that point, are there any recent examples of pandemics where such responses have been inadequate?
Let me further explain why we chose this title for the conference. So as you explained in your introductions, infectious disease spread easily and pandemically. So it is important to explore the mechanisms to expedite patient access to innovative drugs in the context of a pandemic situation. So we had several examples from the past, and actually we need to learn from other countries or regions where the pandemic crisis management is or has been successful. And so let me further develop. We need more international collaboration, and especially countries with less resource as authorities should consider implementing pathways to facilitate registration of innovative drugs through reliance or work-sharing procedures, for example. So to track a pandemic and avoid massive outbreak, it is essential to have an efficient surveillance and early detection system and collaboration, which implies also collaboration between countries. An effective communication plan, so towards healthcare professionals, but also between healthcare professionals and public, is important. It is also key to develop sensitive and specific diagnostic tools. Then, registration of innovative treatments, such as vaccines or innovative chemical drugs, should be facilitated to accelerate product availability to patients and thus limit the outbreak. So this involves many stakeholders, from the R&D company to the regulators, payers, and suppliers. And as I mentioned earlier, reliance or recognition of existing regulatory approvals can even more accelerate product availability while maintaining robust quality and safety standards. It is also crucial to provide incentives and flexibility in R&D, which can include less data from clinical trials and stronger post-marketing surveillance through real-world evidence, for example. So through lessons learned from former pandemics like SARS or the flu H1N1, countries might need to review their healthcare framework to be more prepared in front of any new emerging disease. Also, it means to have a better coordination globally. And just to conclude, as it will be also our keynote speech during the conference in Singapore, AMR, antimicrobial resistant throat, is real and needs to be addressed.
Your comments suggest very strongly, and this may be obvious, but I just want to ask, suggest very strongly that any response to a pandemic has got to be a collaborative, multinational response. Is it the case that no single country can really manage a pandemic by itself, but the management of pandemic responses to pandemics do require a coordinated multinational effort? Is that correct?
Exactly.
Are there any examples of a single country managing a local pandemic by itself?
I don't have any specific example, but the point is that infectious disease spread really easily. So if we want to avoid a massive outbreak, for me, it is really essential to have a good collaboration between countries. And it starts really at the beginning, through the surveillance or the early detection, at least if neighbor countries are putting a system in place where they are really quickly informed about an infectious disease starting to spread in a neighbor countries, they can be more reactive and it can already limit a massive outbreak. And after, further in the process, through different kind of collaboration activities from the R&D or registrations of innovative products, it can really accelerate patient access to innovative health products to tackle a pandemic. So yes, I do think that international collaboration is really key, and even between really mature countries and less mature countries where they can rely on the existing approvals of other regulators in order really to fast-track the access of innovative product to patients, because this is the key. We want our populations to be treated as quickly as possible and to limit the outbreaks as much as possible.
Given how important this multinational collaboration is and the fast-tracking of products to patients is, are there any sources of resistance or impediments to such collaboration? Have you experienced any of these in your professional life, or is this conference going to address any roadblocks or sources of resistance to collaboration?
Actually, if I speak about my experience coming from the industry, I would say that, for example, through the licensing process, the registration of innovative products, it is still not really in the mind of some countries with, for example, less resource regulators, really to put in place more facilitated registration process through reliance or work-sharing procedure. For example, within the ASEAN countries, they aren't starting developing a joint assessment report procedure. So with the aim really to accelerate the registration of product in the region. And yeah, I think that there might be some difficulties when some countries still keep their local requirements, and after there might be also some political issues. But yeah, within different regions, we are still facing the maintenance of local requirements, which really hinder the implementation of this regional or more international collaboration. So through the industry, we've been working already for many years in order to really try to convince regulators, countries to implement this kind of facilitated regulatory pathways in order to rely on the approval from other regulators and thus accelerated patient access to products.
In the November issue of Global Forum, we published an article announcing that perhaps by the end of 2018, there will be an African Medicines Agency, or AMA. If this agency comes to pass and becomes reality, do you think this would be helpful in efforts to coordinate responses to pandemics in the African continent?
I'm less familiar with the African countries, but I think that it's already a good step. I mean that, for example, in Europe, it took years to create Europe and after to create the EMI. So it might take some time after to really rule smoothly in Africa. But I think that it's it's already a wish from the African countries to try to better collaborate. And for less mature health authorities in some of the African countries, I hope that the idea is really to share the work or to rely on the evaluation for other regulators within ASEAN. And with, again, the same goal to accelerate the registration of innovative products and to learn from the others, from more mature regulators, to learn, to share best practices. And so that it's also a question of capacity building and to build strong knowledge in less mature health authorities. So it's a positive message. I know that within the ASEAN region, there was a project to have this kind of agency, but we haven't seen yet the implementation of such agency regionally.
Another question, social media. Do social media help or hinder efforts to manage pandemics around the world and particularly in Asia?
So I would say both. Why? Because I think that social media can help to track a pandemic, because all the online social networks provide an almost real-time surveillance system, so at a less costly rate than traditional surveillance system. And also it can communicate information to people, such as the number of new cases of a disease, how many people have been infected, and so on. And it can thus impact people's behavior and reduce a massive outbreak. On the other hand, it may scare people reading all this kind of information. And we can say that it might impact the existing medicine supply availability if there is a big panic. And also, there is a risk that misinformation can also be spread. So yeah, if news from social media comes out maybe too early, it can hinder public health officials' communication plan and so lead to increased panic. I know that number of studies are currently done to assess the impact of social media on pandemic tracking system. And as I mentioned, it appears that these online social networks, the network data contains really rich information that can be used for tracking a pandemic and also can be used to communicate on the disease, prevention, etc. So I would say that the online social networks should complement rather than replace other traditional surveillance system or other communication channels.
Thank you. And finally, in regards to this conference, what takeaway messages do you hope that participants will bring home from the conference?
First, to understand the roles and challenges of the different stakeholders involved in a pandemic infectious disease management. So from the R&D company to regulators, payers, distributors, without forgetting academia. And identify the opportunities and mechanisms to better tackle a pandemic situation. As we talked and mentioned this earlier, we need more international cooperation and facilitated regulatory pathways and flexibility in R&D to accelerate innovative product research and development for infectious and tropical disease, and thus expedite their accessibility to patients. Antimicrobial resistance is one example of the 21st century global public health challenge. And as I mentioned, this is really a threat we need to address.
In addition to this being a call to action, if you will, the theme of the conference seems to be one of calling people to action. Do you expect that the conference will feature some very unique, some very creative new approaches to the issue of pandemics, new ideas, really groundbreaking initiatives that have not been in place up to now?
I think that the conference will more focused on the sharing of best practices. I will say that sharing what does exist currently as enablers for successful management of a health product during pandemic, so through the WHO good reliance practices, the emerging role of precision medicines in pandemics, or the use of real-world data, real-world evidence. And also we expect some regulators to share the early access tools in place. So I think that We will talk about the existing tools, the experiences, the lessons learned from other countries and regions. And I hope that, as you mentioned, maybe during the conference that and during some panel discussion, we can go beyond and maybe share sensitive initiative, something breakthrough. But I think that it will be more focused on sharing best practices and what we can learn also from other countries or neighbor regions.
Thank you. And these are all the questions for today, Dorothy. Thank you very much for your time today and for your insights. And I wish you very good luck with this important conference.
Thank you very much.
For DIA Global Forum, I am Alberto Grignolo.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.